We're going to read the Holy Scriptures tonight from the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And we're reading, first of all, at the sixth chapter. And then we're turning over to the eighth chapter with one verse from chapter 7. Verse 12 of Genesis chapter 6. Authorized versions of the Bible are in front of you in the pew. Make use of them. They're there for your use and edification. The sixth chapter of Genesis, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it off. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, to bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come in to the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. To keep them alive with thee, they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all of thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before thee in this generation. Chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuage. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 years, 50 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, were the tops of the mountain seen. And God shall stamp with his own divine seal of approval and blessing this reading from the infallible book. Amen and amen. Open your Bible at the 8th chapter of Genesis. The verse 5. The latter part of the verse. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. In the Old Testament biblical calendar, in Noah's day, the 10th month was our January, our 1st month. And so this scripture had its fulfillment on the 1st day of the 1st month in our calendar. The month of January. And what a remarkable historical and memorable incident is here recorded. Everyone in this house tonight has at least a casual and general acquaintance of the great flood, the great deluge, known commonly as Noah's flood. We remember the corruption of the earth, the apostasy of true religion, the turning of man to violence, perversion, and evil. The perversion of flesh to such an extent that a thrice holy God decided to wash this world, to scrub this planet, to cleanse away the filth of the flesh and the defilement of its sin. And God had the ark prepared, as we shall see. And God saved Noah and his family, preserved the living creatures upon the earth, and a new world came into existence, the old world having perished under the judgment of the deluge. Here in this portion of Scripture, we discover the first vision of the new world. And on the 1st day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains were seen. And Noah and his family got their first vision of a cleansed and clean earth, an earth purged by the judgments of God. I wonder how many people in this house tonight have a vision before them of a new heaven and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. I wonder how many believers can say they have seen the tops of the mountains of that new heaven and new earth, which is the prospect of the people of God. Our citizenship is not here in a doomed and darkened, degraded and debauched world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we look for Jesus. And when he comes, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign. Could I underscore, first of all in this sermon, that at the window of the ark, they had a vision of the new world. I trust there will be given to us such a vision of the new world tonight, that all through this year and every other year God gives us to live below, that our eyes will always be above, that we'll set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. For we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. How much the people of God need to get the vision of the new world, for which every child of God is most certainly headed by the divine providence and grace and decree of the eternal triune Jehovah God. Secondly, I want you to notice that this vision could only be seen from the ark. No one else saw the tops of the mountains but those that were in the ark. The ark is a perfect type of Jesus Christ. Only those in Christ have any vision of the future. Only those in Jesus Christ can see beyond the horizon of time. Only those in Jesus Christ have the telescope that God put into the hands of Noah, and he saw things that were to come. You say, how was that ark a type of Christ? It was a type of Christ in five ways. Number one, it was a type of Christ because it was the ark of divine provision. That ark was not the brainchild of Noah. That ark didn't result from an idea that was born in Noah's mind. That ark was not conceived on earth. That ark was the product of God. That ark was the divine provision. God provided the ark. God provided the thought of the ark, the measurements of the ark, the plan of the ark, the material of the ark. It was an ark of God's provision. Christ is the divine provision of God for the salvation of your soul. You cannot be saved by a church. What a fool you are if you're trusting in a church for your salvation. Salvation is not the product or result of water baptism. It takes a stronger liquid than water to get down to the heart stains of sin. You can have a few drops in infancy or deep immersions when you're older, but your sins will not be cleansed by any method of water baptism. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you're trusting in communion for salvation, you are a fool, because Christ said, they ate and drank in my presence, and I said to them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. There's baptized souls damned in hell tonight. There's communicants damned in hell tonight. There are people that were Orthodox, and they're damned in hell tonight. The only thing that can provide for your salvation, the only one that can provide for your salvation, is the Lord Jesus Christ. As the ark was the ark of divine provision, so Christ is the ark of divine provision. Secondly, the ark was the ark of divine protection. Everyone inside that ark was absolutely safe. There's no question mark about that. Everybody that sealed in that ark got to the new world, to the cleansed world, to the world that was purged. I remember once debating with a Church of Christ preacher the great doctrine of the eternal security of the saint. And he said, what if Noah had fallen out of the ark? And I said to him, what a fool you are. For the Bible says God shut him in. And when God shuts you in, hallelujah, you're in forever. Nothing can harm a person who is safe in the ark of God. It's an ark of divine protection. Three arks we have in the Bible. We have Noah's ark. Everything in it was safe. We have an ark of bulrushes made by mother's hands to save her son. And Moses in that ark was safe as safe could be. He didn't perish with the other firstborn children, the other male children, because he was safe in the ark. God gave Moses two tables of stone. They were broken. But the second time God gave him two tables of stone, he said, make an ark and put them in the ark and they will be safe. So every time you have the mention of an ark in the Bible, the emphasis is upon protection. Do you want to be protected from the wrath to come? Do you want to be protected from the fires of hell? Do you want to be protected from the darkness and doom that you deserve? Go and hide in the ark of divine provision. Go and hide in the ark of divine protection. Thirdly, it was an ark of divine planning. God Almighty planned it. He said to Noah, it's to be made of gopher wood. Not any tree of the forest can be taken to make this ark. Gopher wood only goes in to the construction of this great ship. What a felling of trees there were in the fall, in the forests around where Noah lived. As Noah and his sons, and no doubt the employees, Noah's carpenters, went out and marked the gopher trees. And every marked tree fell to the axe man's sharp cutting axe. What a felling of trees there was. At a place called Calvary, God felled his son in order that salvation might be possible. The wrath of God that was our due upon the Lamb was laid. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Think of it tonight, there would be no material for my safety if Christ had not been slain at Calvary. Secondly, you will notice that the dimensions of the ark are carefully revealed. Those principles are still carried forward in the making of ships to this present day. And how wise men are to accept the standards revealed in this book. For this ship outrode the worst storm that ever hit this earth. And so all God's measurements are stamped with his own divine wisdom. But there were only three stories in that ark. Why only three? Why not five or seven or 10 or 12 or 20 in this great ark? This ark is a type of Christ. Inside the ark is a type of what happens when you're inside Christ. And what happens when you're inside Christ? Three things take place by divine energy in your heart. First of all, you're justified. That's the lowest story. That's where it starts. Secondly, you're sanctified. When you get to the top story, you're glorified. These are types of what happens if you're in a Christ. There is only one door. There's only one way in to Christ. By faith in his great redemption. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And something more. There's only one window. It's not in the side. It's in the roof of the ark, and the only outlook is upward, Godward, and heavenward. Because the man who is redeemed by the Savior's blood looks not around him, but looks up and only to God. Well, this ark is a perfect type of Christ. Fourthly, it was the ark of divine pitching. It was pitched within and without. Its decor was the same on the inside as on the outside. There was only one person outside that ark, and that was God. And when God looked at the ark, he saw the pitch. And when Noah looked up at the ark, he saw the pitch. And isn't it interesting that the Hebrew word kaphar, first time it's used in the Hebrew scriptures, is used here of the pitch. It means to cover. And it's the very same word that's used for atonement.
And when God looked down, he saw the covering. And when Noah looked up, he saw the same covering as God saw. When I'm in Christ, I see the precious blood. And when God looks at me, he sees the precious blood, because it's the ark of divine pitching. Do you see the blood in your soul today? Does God see the blood in your heart today? He's not looking for your religious label. He's not looking for your baptismal certificate. He's not looking for your communicant's token. He's looking to see, is my son's blood on that man's heart? Thank God I can say the blood of Calvary is on my heart. And thank God, as I look to that blood, I have peace. And as God looks at that blood, he pronounces peace on me. When God of old, the way of life, would teach to all his own, he placed them safe beyond the reach of death by blood alone. It is God's word, God's precious word, stands forever sure. When I, the Lord, shall see the blood, I will pass over you. Are you under the blood tonight? And lastly, it was an ark of divine program. God programmed that ark. It was a boat without engine. It was a boat without a mast. It was a boat without a sail. And it was a boat without a rudder. But it made one of the worst storms in history and brought everybody to the desired haven. Everybody that sailed at that ark got out safely at the journey's end. My friend, we don't go to heaven after we're saved by any power of our own. We don't go by lifting up a seal of human righteousness or looking for human power or some man-made religious engine to drive the ship of salvation. Christ is the captain of our salvation. He has programmed his salvation. And his salvation is everlasting and sure. And those that have it in their hearts are as sure of heaven as if they were walking at this moment the golden streets of the heavenly Jerusalem. Are you in the ark? Only those in the ark had the vision. You perhaps laugh and say, a lot of old fuzzy duddies believing the old book and preaching the old book. I lifted a religious magazine the other day and I heard a man, and he said, nobody believes in hell today. Says I, you're a liar. I believe in hell. Jesus believed in hell. The Bible believes in hell. And one day you'll believe in hell. For if you're not saved, you'll feel its fires and know its torments and its damnation. Are you in the ark? The vision was only for the people in the ark. That vision could only be seen. Could I emphasize this? It could only be seen when the ark rested. As the ark was sailing above the waters, they couldn't see the tops of the mountains. But when the waters assuaged and went down and were going down, the ark rested on Mount Ararat. The word Ararat means holy ground. I looked carefully at that in my Bible. And then I looked at verse 4. Look at it with me. The ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And then I went back to Exodus, and I found it was in the seventh month that the Passover lamb was slain. It became the first month, for God changed the calendar. And the day the Passover lamb was slain, the calendar was changed, and the seventh month became the first month. On the 14th day, they slew the Passover. The Lamb of God is our Passover sacrifice for us. But 3 days afterwards, hallelujah, Christ arose. He arose on the 17th day of the first month. And the whole finished work of Christ rests on the holy ground of Christ's bodily resurrection from the grave. We have no gospel if Christ is not risen from the dead. We are still in our sins. We have no hope in time, no hope in death, no hope in eternity. But Christ is risen from the dead. The whole work of Christ rests. It's finished in his glorious resurrection from the tomb. And do you know how you're saved, friend? Turn over to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you need to believe that he's raised from the dead. What does it mean? It means that the law would still hold the mortgage on the body of the Son of God. And he couldn't leave that tomb except every sin was settled and fully paid for. But thank God every sin is settled and fully paid for. He was delivered because of our offenses. He's raised again because of our justification. It is the ark of the divine program. It was only seen when the ark rested. No vision could be seen until the ark rested. The vision could only be seen out of the window of the ark. You had to get to the highest place in the ark if you were going to see the vision. You know, there are people in Christ and they don't have the vision. They don't see the tops and the mountains. They're down there in the hold of the ark. They've never got farther than their justification. Oh, thank God they're in the ark. But they've never got to the window. The man that sees the vision, the woman that sees the vision, has got to the window, has looked out and seen the tops of the mountains. Happy is the man that has seen in his vision the tops of the mountains of glory. Happy is the person that has looked beyond this old world, across the dark river of death, and thank God there's a light at the river for every child of God. And they have seen the glory land. They've seen Emmanuel's land. They've seen the tops of the mountains, for they've been at the window of God. I'd rather be at God's window than at the greatest theological school in the world. I'd rather be at God's window than be taught by the greatest theological professor of the world. And God gives an invitation to us all to climb up to the window tonight, to look out. The world is deafened by the drums of war. We have heard Hussein tonight pour out his fury upon Israel, calling for a religious war and calling for battle and thirsting for blood. I don't know what's ahead in this old world, but I've been at God's window, men and women, and I've seen the hilltops of the glory land, and I know that this is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Abraham went out. He didn't know where he was going. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You can't have the vision except you're in the ark. I'm through. I just want to say three short things. Are you in God's ark tonight? Well, if not, why not? Let me say to you, you can get into the ark tonight. I have been preaching the gospel for over 50 years. God has given me the great privilege of leading many, many precious souls to Christ. I was stopped the other day in Consbrook Shopping Center by a dear lady. And she said, "Mr. Paisley, I just want to hold your hand and thank you. My husband was an RUC officer. He was blown up in Coal Island. You went to the hospital. You pointed him to Christ. And he's now walking with the Lord. And what a change is in our home." And she said, "I just want to thank you." And she said to a lady, a business lady, she said, "You know, I wanted not only to thank the preacher, but I wanted to shout hallelujah." And the lady said, "You ought to have shouted it. And the big man would have shouted along with you." Yes. It's a wonderful thing to lead a soul to Christ. If I can be of any service to you tonight, with the little knowledge I have of this word and the little experience I have of leading men and women to Christ, it's all at your service tonight. I say that simply, sincerely, and from my heart. If I can help you to Jesus, friend, I want you to make use of me. Come and see me. Let's open the Bible. And friend, get into the ark. The judgment day's coming. The thunders are being heard. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Get into the ark, sinner, tonight. Get into the ark. And if I can help you up the ladder to the door, I'll be glad to do it. And child of God, don't stay down there in the depths of story number one. Climb up to the window. Get the vision that God has been given your preacher of those wonderful mountaintops. I'll preach on them next Sunday night. The mountaintops that we can see from the window of the ark. And when you get that vision, you'll set light to this old world. You'll not let its ties tie you down. For you'll be drawn closer to Emmanuel's land, and you'll feel the draw of the blessed Savior on your soul. Let us all face up to our responsibilities tonight for Jesus' sake. Let us bow our heads.